Psalm chapter 124. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. A psalm of David. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
I think that's better. Good morning. All right. My name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shotowak Church, and we're so excited that you're worshiping with us today. Amen. Today, we continue in our teaching series, Psalm of the Ascent, and we're going to be exploring several psalms over the next, during the summer, and we're going to just unpack what that looks like. For those of us who, you know, it's good to be in Manhasset today. I'm seeing some faces, some old faces, some new faces, and I'm just thankful for what God is doing in our lives. Just want to give you some update on the family because quite a few of you are like, Pastor, I thought you moved to Westchester. I'm like, no, we didn't. So a few years ago, we were thinking of moving from Long Island to the Westchester area. And so we had put our house on the market. I'm getting some feedback here. We're good. We had put our house on the market, but it never got sold. And so we concluded that God still has something for us to do here. Amen? And so we've been here ever since. We've been at the Westbury campus, and God has been doing something great at that location. Today I have my daughter with me, Christina. Hey! She's entering her second year in college in Stony Brook. So, you know, even though I still look young, thank you. I got some years on me, amen? Oh, goodness. So we're just glad to be here this morning. So as we said earlier, we're going through the Psalm of the Ascent. And today our focus is going to be Psalm 124. So if you have your Bibles handy, could you turn with me to Psalm 124? I believe it's going to be on the screen as well. The author is David, and he says, "If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared up against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. The praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And so before we dive in, can we bow our heads in prayer this morning? Father, we thank you for your presence that is here with us this morning. Thank you, O God, for showing up the way you have. God, we ask that as we hear, oh God, your word this morning, that our hearts will be transformed, that our hearts will be renewed, and we'll be inspired and motivated, oh God, to become more like your son, Jesus Christ. We ask, oh God, that you will do the work in our hearts this morning as we submit and surrender ourselves to you. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, the Psalm of the Ascent, what are these? So these are psalms that the children of Israel, as they made their way up to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms, not just as an individual, but they would do so as a community, as a collective body, as they made their way up to Jerusalem on an annual basis. Now what's interesting about life is that how many of us know that life is a journey? And how many of us know that faith also is a journey? And quite often, when you're going on a journey, you need to make preparations. Amen? You need to make preparations, you know, in terms of clothing. You know, if you're going to a cold climate, you want to make sure you have the right clothing and everything like that. Back in the days, if you're going on a long journey, you need to make sure you had enough food to take you there and back home. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, that's good. You have the privilege of buying food today. No, you had to take enough food to get you there and back. So as the children of Israel, as they made their way up to Jerusalem, they had also to make, they had to make preparations as well, both physically and spiritually, because they understood that if they are going to meet God, they have to prepare their hearts to meet him. Amen? And so what they did, they would sing these songs together as a body to prepare their hearts to meet God. Now, these songs, as much as they contained spiritual truth, that was not their only purpose. There's an added purpose here that the Psalms, they give expression, they give word, they give voice to some of the deepest emotions that human beings can have. And so throughout the Psalms, you will see where you see words given to our fear, our deepest fear, our deepest anguish, our deepest hurt, and our joys and our hopes and our the things that we're looking forward to as well. There's some emotions that are deep within us that we don't have the right words to express them. But when you come to the book of Psalms, you find the words. How many of us struggle with expressing our emotions? Thank you, I have one or two people. Thank you. I do. And so when I come to the book of Psalms, I can find words to articulate the way I'm feeling. And what David does here in this psalm, he does something beautiful. But as we go through it this morning, there's one main idea that I want us to take away from this, our time together this morning. If you forget everything else that the pastor says, it's this one main idea that I want us to take away this morning. And it's this: our praise only belongs to the one to whom we belong. I'm going to say that one more time. Our praise belongs only to the one to whom we belong. It's critical for us to keep that at the forefront of our mind as we dive into the text this morning. Let's look at it. Verse 1, David writes, "If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side." As I look at this, it's as though David starts to sing the praise and worship song, and then he remembers that the congregation is there as well. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to sing this song alone. I need the church to join with me in singing this song. So he says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel, let the church say, if the Lord had not been on our side. In other words, David is saying, this is not a song I'm going to sing by myself. I need you to join with me as well. And quite often when Kayla is up here and she's playing on the keyboard and the piano and whatnot, you will hear her say from time to time, let us sing together, or let the church sing, or let the people of God sing. This is a community song. This is a congregational song where all of us, we're trying to prepare our hearts to meet God. And David echoes the theme of the entire psalm, and he says, if the Lord had not been on our side. In other words, David starts with praise. He starts with praise. And he does so by acknowledging who God is, or what God has done for him and the people of Israel. He starts with praise. And in this phrase, in this term, in these groups of words that he uses, in the sentence that he uses, we see two truths, two foundational truths. Number one is that God has sides. I'm like, what? God has sides. But the side that he's on is on the people who belong to him. Do you see that? If you're a student of the Bible, you'll understand that Israel is the only nation where God says to a people that you are my people and I am your God. In other words, this group of people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, are people that belong to God. And whoever belongs to God, God is on their side. Amen? Not only do we see that truth, but we also see that, guess what? Even though these people belong to God, guess what? They needed help. And quite often as believers, we believe that because we are our children of God, because we are Christians, we are immune from the attacks and we are immune from the enemy coming against us. But that is not so. We see here that David expresses clearly that if it had not been for God who was on his side, on the side of the Israelites, they don't know where they would be. And it's the same for us this morning. And so as we go through the text this morning, there are two ideas, there are two main points that I want us to think about. And these are the two main points. Number one, that God defends his people from the attack of the enemy. Number one. And number two, God rescues his people from the traps of the enemy. Those are two main points that we want to talk about this morning. Let's look at verse 2 all the way down to verse 5, if you will. It says, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. What David is trying to tell us this morning, that guess what? Because we are the children of God, because we are the people of God, the enemy came against us, and if God was not on our side, if God was not coming to our defense, they would have swallowed us alive. They would have taken us out. They would have wiped us out. But if you look at the history of the Jewish people, you will understand that since their inception, even to today, people are trying to take them out. But guess what? They are still here. Why? Because God is defending them against the attack of the enemy. And how many of us know that as children of God, as people of God, as people who belong to God, God is going to defend us as well against the attacks from the enemy. If you understand the life of David, you understand that he was always on the run in his early years from King Saul. And quite often, he would get in certain situations where he didn't get out because of his own strength. He didn't get out because of his own military strategy. He didn't get out because of what he did. He got out because he escaped because of what God did for him. God would send a word to say, hey, David, watch out. King Saul is for you, is against you. But the same thing is true for Israel. Whenever Israel came under attack, it was not because they were the strongest. It was not because they were the largest. It was not because they were, they had all the armaments of military. They had the strongest military might that made them escape. No, it was because God was on their side. And what David does here is that he uses six lines to show you how powerful the enemy was. Look at this with me. Says, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging water would have swept us away. In other words, David is using words like the flood, the torrent, the raging waters to show you how powerful the enemy was that was coming against them. You know what's interesting is earlier this summer, the family, we took a trip up to Niagara Falls. It was our first time being up there, and the Canadian border was closed, so we had to stay on the New York side. And so, you know, we had done some research to see, you know, some of the things, some of the sightseeing that we could do, and we decided that we would take, a trip and make sure that we went to the falls. We went into the falls. And so there was a party boat that was there, and Maiden of the Mist, I believe the name was, and we went in, and we started to as we moved off the dock, and the boat started to move closer and closer to the falls. You know, it wasn't anything, you know, spectacular about it, you know. But something began to happen. As we moved closer, as we inched closer and closer to the falls, you started to feel the water from the falls hit your face, and your face began to get wet. And as you inch closer and closer, you started to feel the breeze from the falls as it brushed across your face. And as you went closer and closer, you started to hear the crashing of the water coming down over the falls into the air, into the river. And all of a sudden, we stood still in an area that they call the horseshoe. And it was the place where both the Canadian side and the American side, where they joined together. And in the midst of the water crashing down, I paused for a moment and took in everything that was going on around me. And almost instinctively, the words "wow" came out of my mouth. Why? Because I was standing in the presence of something majestic. I was standing in the presence of something powerful. I was standing in the presence of something that was awe-inspiring. And how many of us know that when we stand in the presence of something that is awe-inspiring, worship and praise naturally flows out of us? Why do I talk about that? I talk about that because when David is penning this, he is looking at the power of the enemy. He's looking at how mighty their army was. He's looking at how strong their army was. But he compares that against God. And he says, if God had not been on our side, the armies, they would have taken us over. And that tells me that no matter how strong the enemy is coming against us, God is more powerful. I have a definition for praise here. Praise is a natural response when our hearts are excited by the majesty and the power of God. When you understand how powerful, when you understand how amazing God is, and that excites your heart, praise naturally erupts from our mouth. And that's why I love the song that Kayla was singing here, because listen, man, our God is mighty, he's majestic, and one day every knee is going to bow before his presence. That's how powerful, that's how majestic he is. And guess what? Our praise belongs only to the one to whom we belong. Why? Because he defends his people against the attack of the enemy. When the enemy is coming against you, when he's coming against you like a flood, when he's coming against you like a torrent, when he's coming against you like the raging waters, guess what? God is going to defend you. And because God is your defense, he is worthy of your praise. Amen? But before we move on, there's something that I want to unpack here, because there's some of us in here, we're like, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but Pastor, I don't have any enemies. Pastor, if you don't believe me, take a look at my Facebook account. I have hundreds of friends. I don't have any enemies, right? But if you're here this morning and you think that as a believer you don't have any enemies, may I suggest to you that you are mistaken. Because Jesus says that we have an enemy, the devil, who seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if we're not aware of his tactics, we might be living our lives being attacked by the enemy, being subdued by the enemy, and not realizing that we are in his clutches. And so what I want to show you here is that when the enemy attacks us, when the devil attacks us, when we are under the attack of the enemy, quite often his purpose is to distract you. How many of us know in here that this morning that you have a God-given task, that once you name the name of Jesus, once you give your life to Jesus Christ, God has an assignment for you. There is something that only you and you alone can do. There are tasks, there are activities that God has in his divine plans for you, specifically you, to do. But when the enemy has you distracted, he doesn't have to take you out to render you ineffective. All he has to do is to distract you. And when we are distracted, quite often we are rendered ineffective. Hello, somebody. You see, whenever I come home from work, from time to time, I'll find myself on the phone. And you know, a lot of times when I'm on the phone, you know, when I come home, you know, the family is in the living room and they'll say, "Hi, Daddy," and everything like that. And the wife will say, "Hey, honey, how are you?" But whenever I'm on the phone, guess what? I'm distracted. And whenever I'm on the phone, I miss an opportunity. Whenever they say hi to Daddy, I miss an opportunity to reply. I miss an opportunity to say hi back to them. But quite often what happens is that when I'm on the phone and I'm distracted, I will misplace my keys. Oh, you don't want to talk to me. All right. Whenever we are distracted, we will either miss an opportunity or we will misplace things. And quite often when the enemy has us distracted, we will miss an opportunity to give God glory when he has come through for us. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when you are on the highway this morning, or when you were on the highway last week and somebody almost cut you off and God defended you. I'm talking about when you are on the job last week and the boss almost fired you, but God stepped in that moment. I'm talking about when you're in the hospital and the devil almost took you out, but God healed you. I'm talking about God coming to your rescue. But if we are distracted, we will miss that as an opportunity to give God praise. We just go about our merry way thinking that, wow, that, ooh, I was lucky. No, God was on your side. Oh man, oof, man, I live to see another day. I live to see another paycheck. No, God was on your side. We'll miss the opportunity to give God praise. But I think what's even more dangerous is that we will misplace our praise. Distracted arts offers misplaced praise. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when God comes through for you, you will praise people instead of praising him. When God comes through for you, you will praise the doctor instead of praising him. When God comes through for you, you will praise the banker instead of praising him. We will misplace our praise. And that's how the enemy renders us ineffective. He keeps us distracted. So the question is this morning, what has you distracted? What are some of the things that you have in your life that is taking your focus away from God, the one who has defended you from the attacks of the enemy? David does something that is beautiful here. He keeps the focus on God. He says, if God had not been on our side, we would have been wiped out. And the same is true for you. The same is true for me this morning. If God had not been on our side, we would have been wiped out a long time ago. So what are the things that has you distracted this morning? As we continue, verse 6, David writes, praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. Again, David is focused. In the first part, he praises God for what God has done. In the second part, he's going to praise God for who he is. And that is the essence of praise. That is the essence of worship. First, worship starts and praise starts with acknowledging who God is. Yes. Secondly, it acknowledges what has he done for me, or who is this God that I'm serving? It says, verse 7, we have escaped like a bird from the fowler's trap. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. The first reason why we praise God is because God defends us from the attack of the enemy. The second reason why we praise God is because God rescues us from the traps of the enemy. Here in the psalm, David does something beautiful. He compares the children of Israel to birds. And how many of us know that birds are very delicate creatures? They are beautiful. They are elegant. They are able to accomplish some beautiful feats. Whenever they are in the air, they can soar to some great heights. But whenever they are trapped, they are weak. Whenever they are trapped, they are, can I say, utterly useless? Here in the text, David says, listen, we have escaped like a bird from the fowler's traps. In other words, the enemy set a trap for us, and God has caused us to escape. Can I talk about traps for a minute? Thank you. I got permission to do that. Okay, great. As I was preparing the message for today, I did some research on traps. And traps are really interesting in the sense that the main purpose of a trap is to neutralize the strength of the prey. So if I'm going to trap a tiger, I need to make sure that the strength of the tiger, if you will, is in his ability to stand firm on the ground. And so if I'm going to trap a tiger, I need to make sure that I take him up off the ground. I neutralize his strength. If I'm going to trap a bird, the bird's strength is in its wings. And so if I'm going to try to catch a bird, once the bird starts flying, it's hard to catch him. I was young once, and so I used to make slingshots. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. And I was pretty skilled at shooting a bird once it was on the ground. But once it took off, it was hard to hit him. A trap is made or designed to neutralize the strength of the prey. And so if you look at this here, it's a more humane design for a trap. But the net is structured in such a way that as the bird enters the trap zone, a trigger is pulled and it's clasped over the bird, and the bird is trapped. There is no way for it to escape. No way for it to escape. But as I was looking at different types of traps, I realized that there are some traps that you just lay in the path of the prey. And by virtue of the prey just walking in its natural path, going about its daily activity, it will get trapped. Right? And there's some of us in here, we were just going about our daily activities. We were just doing what comes natural to us. And before you know it, we got stuck in a relationship. We got stuck in a situation where 15, 20 years later, we are still trapped. But there are some traps that are called baited traps. In other words, the trap is laid off to the side, and there is something in the trap zone that appeals to you. There's something in the trap zone that appeals to what you want. And the enemy packages it so well that as you're going along your daily activities, you take a peek and you see something that attracts you, and guess what? You're lured off your path and you enter the trap zone. And as you reach out for it, it catches you. Yes? It's one thing to be going about your natural daily activities and be captured by a trap that is laid out for you. It's a whole nother thing to be lured off the path and to be trapped. And quite often, this is how the enemy attacks us. He will put things in our pathway that is very attractive. It appeals to our desires. It appeals to the things that we want. And he will lay it out. He will package it so well, so beautiful, that it lures us off the way. And we are trapped. And there are three areas that all of us, most of us in here, struggle with. It's the area of power. He will put a little power in your hand. He will give you a little taste of power that gives you control over something. And then before you know it, you want more and more and more control. And before you know it, you're stuck in a trap. There's some of us in here, he appeals to our pleasures, our senses, the things that make us feel good. And he will put things in our way that lures us off. And before you know it, we're stuck in a world of pleasure and we're trying to break it, but we can't. Power, pleasure, possessions. There's some of us in here, we're infatuated with stuff. We just want more and more stuff, and we will work 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week just so that we can earn enough money to get more and more and more stuff. And 10, 15 years later, you're still caught in a trap. It's one thing to be caught in a trap. It's another thing to escape from the trap. Some of us in here, we thought that, man, you know what? I have enough strength to break myself free from this trap. And 15 years later, you're still trying to break free from the trap. 20 years later, you're still trying to break free from the trap. But remember, the trap was designed to neutralize your strength. And so David says here that we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. So how did we escape? The only way that a bird can escape from this trap, the only way that someone can escape from a trap that is laid for them, is that someone else who is stronger than that bird, someone else who is stronger than you, has to come and release you from it. This is important because many of us in here this morning who are caught in the trap of the enemy, you don't have enough strength to release yourself from it, but you have to depend on the strength of another. And that's why as believers, we can put our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ, because he has the strength to break the trap of the enemy. Notice in the text that he says that we not only escape from the trap of the enemy, but he breaks the trap of the enemy. In other words, the thing that caught you last year, the thing that caught you 15 years ago, when God breaks that thing from off of you, guess what? It's not going to trap you anymore. It's not going to catch you anymore. But one of the traps that all of us in here are susceptible to, and we're exposed to, is the trap of sin. That was the trap that all of us was caught in. You try to break free from it, but you couldn't. You try to muster enough strength to release yourself from it, but you couldn't. And Jesus came in, and he released you from that trap. But the thing about that trap is that it needed payment. It was going to cost something. And when Jesus released you from the trap, he said, you know what? Because there is payment due here, I'm going to step into the trap for you. When you submitted your life to him, he released you from the trap. But guess what? He stepped into the trap on your behalf. But when he stepped into the trap, guess what he did? He broke the trap. Amen? And the Bible tells me that sin no longer has any power over us. Amen? Isaiah 53 tells us or gives us an indication of what this trap did to Jesus. Here's what it says. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen? What has you trapped this morning? How long have you been going through that one situation, that one circumstances, that you don't have strength to release yourself from it? I don't know about you, but guess what? If I'm going to rescue someone, at some point, the person who needs to be rescued has to give up. At some point, the person who needs to be rescued has to stop relying on his or her own strength and rely on the strength of somebody else. May I suggest to you this morning that if you're trying to release yourself from the trap, it's not going to work. The only person that can release you from that trap is Jesus Christ, because he alone has the strength to release us from it. Amen? Amen. David concludes in verse 8, and he says, our help is in the name of the Lord. Who is this Lord that we're talking about? He is the maker of heaven and earth. This morning, you might be here this morning and you're like, wow, I'm experiencing all these attacks from the enemy. I feel as though I'm in a trap. Guess what? Your help, the help that you need is not in a doctor. The help that you need is not in a lawyer. The help that you need can only be found in Jesus Christ alone. Hello, somebody. It can only be found in him alone. So this morning, David concludes and says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So if God is on your side, the God who makes heaven and earth is on your side, who can be against you? When God is on your side, it doesn't matter how strong the enemy is, it doesn't matter how hostile the enemy is, when God is on your side, he is both going to defend you and he's going to rescue you. Amen? And because he defends and because he rescues, he alone is worthy of our praise. As we conclude this morning, could you stand to your feet with me? Going to ask the praise team to come up. What has you trapped this morning? Could it be that you were striving after power, you were striving after wealth, you were striving after pleasure, and 15, 20, 30 years later, you're still stuck in it? If you're trapped, Jesus can set you free. If you're trapped, he has the power to break it over your life. Amen? So this morning, could you bow your heads with me? Quite often when we're trapped, our tendency is to fight our way out of it. But God does not want you to fight your way out. He wants you to find your way up. And the only way you can do that is through the power of someone else. The only way you can do that is through the strength of Jesus Christ alone. So this morning, if you feel as though you're under the attack of the enemy where he has you distracted, you can be set free. If you feel as though this morning that you are stuck in a situation, only Jesus has the power to break that thing over your life. But it requires us to submit to him. It requires us to trust him. It requires us to give it all to him. And will you give it all to him this morning? Could you bow your heads? Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Father God, we ask, oh God, that as we submit ourselves, as we surrender ourselves to you this morning, God, that you will take away the distractions, that you will take away the attacks of the enemy. God, your word promises that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that God, you will lift a standard against him. And so, God, we ask that you will step on in this morning and lift the standard against the enemy. God, there are some of us in this room, there are some of us under the sound of my voice, God, we feel trapped. We feel as though the life is being sucked out of us. And God, we've been trying to do it on our own. And so, God, we've been trying everything on our own to set ourselves free. But God, we're still stuck. Will you come on in and break the trap that's in our lives? God, there are some of us here who are still caught by the enemy in sin. We have yet to surrender our lives to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray, dear Jesus, that you will continue to knock on those hearts' door. That you will continue, oh Father God, to knock, and that you will continue to knock, and you will continue to knock until we open up the door and let you in. Because it's not only until you come in that we can be set free from the power of sin. We ask, oh God, that you will take full control of our lives this morning as we surrender it all to you. As we lay it all at your feet, in Jesus' name we pray.